There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 112 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin is talking to John Janst, marketing consultant, award-winning social media publisher, and of course the best-selling author of Duct Tape Marketing and The Referral Engine. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
So your company's called Duct Tape Marketing, and you know, I think that's kind of fundamental, that name, into kind of to the approach that you take. And you kind of concentrate on the getting kind of the simple things done for businesses quite often, and kind of the effectiveness that that kind of approach can have. Is that a fair assessment of your kind of philosophy and framework?
Yeah, I mean, I had been in business myself already as a small business owner for about 10 years before I really decided to embark on building that brand. And to me, it sort of captured the essence of a small business, you know, simple, effective, affordable. Doesn't always have to be the prettiest or the most expensive. It just has to work. And I think that that's, for a lot of people, that's an association they have with Duct Tape. Now, you know, I will say that it does have some regional issues. it makes a ton of sense in the United States. Maybe some sense in the UK. But there are some other parts of the world where sort of the affection and the usefulness of duct tape doesn't have quite the same meaning. So, in fact, my book, Duct Tape Marketing, has been published in about 10 languages. And I think that in most cases, they had to change the title to something much more generic, like simple marketing that is effective or something like that.
But I think that's really effective at kind of get, you know, particularly, yeah, you say it might have some cultural implications across the world, but really what you're talking about and what you're about is kind of, yeah, practical, actionable, simple, effective ways of marketing businesses. Is that kind of a fair way of doing it? Yeah.
Yeah. If my brand has any one word that I love that when people associate with it, is the word practical. And fortunately, that's, you know, that's what we try to stick to.
And so, you know, I think generally you kind of tend to, you know, there's kind of a real onus on what small business owners can do to market and promote their business. Is there anything that kind of, you know, makes a big difference to the tools or approaches that a small business owner should take? Because I know, you know, a large proportion of the listeners to our podcast, you know, kind of work for or own small businesses. How would their approach differ? And what are kind of some of the duct tape marketing tips that you make most frequently for kind of small business owners in comparison to larger business owners?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, when we get right down to the nitty gritty, you know, tips and tactics and things they can do, you know, I suppose there are some differences, but you know, really marketing is marketing. The fundamental of attracting a customer and building trust and getting them to exchange money for, you know, for some value. I mean, I think it's universal all over the world, and certainly big and little. But the one thing that we really teach is I think that so few people do, particularly at the small business level, and that's the idea of strategy first. And that's a part, it's so boring, you know. I mean, in some ways, it's not the new Twitter or the new cool, you know, tool that everybody's raving about, but it's the idea of really setting out with a very specific and in many cases narrow ideal customer in mind, and then finding a way or developing a way to stand out and do something that's totally unique from everybody else who says they do what you do. If you don't nail those two parts, then all of the direct mail and advertising and social media is really just an activity that may or may not generate you more customers, but it's not marketing.
And in terms of when, you know, people are putting together those strategies, they're kind of trying to answer those questions about what they do differently and how they're going to go about promoting that, and kind of, like you say, ignoring necessarily what's the shiniest new thing there. What's the mistake that most people tend to make when putting those strategies together, if they have made that first step and actually thought strategically about what they're trying to achieve?
Right. I think a lot of people do come to that conclusion. You know, okay, yeah, we need to stand out somehow. And so they sit around in the room, the three of them, and say, here's how we're going to stand out. and they may get that right. They may nail it. But 9 times out of 10, when I ask a small business what they do that's really, truly unique, that customers truly value, they either don't know or they're wrong. and so the real value is going out and actually interviewing deeply, you know, getting into the mind of customers that are ideal, that do love what you do, that refer to you already. And if you can get them to tell you what you do that's unique, many times there can be, that can be the real essence of what you should be communicating as your kind of core difference. And I have to warn people, many times it's the boring stuff. It's the simple stuff. It's the little details that you attend to that you don't think make very good marketing messages, when in fact that is what makes you unique.
And do you think that surveys of existing customers are a good way of doing that? Kind of reaching out and doing kind of almost like market research or customer surveys is a good place to start?
I don't necessarily think that you're going to get the kind of information I'm talking about, you know, by sending out a survey and having people check off some boxes. I think it's too easy for them to just say, yeah, you provide good service.
And then I suppose you influence their response as well by, in the select, you know, you can have an open text field, but then very few people fill them in. If you put certain fields in, you're going to influence the ones that people vote for, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, what I really suggest you do is pick out about 8 or 10 of your ideal customers, ones that you would say to yourself, gosh, if I had 8 more of those, life would be great. And sit down with them and ask them, okay, what do we do that's unique? And when they say you provide good service, say, well, tell me what good service looks like. Tell me a story about a time when we provided you good service. And many times by pushing for that little extra detail, you're going to hear the exact things that you do that I talk about as being kind of your magic. And that's what you need to be listening for, because that's what other people want in many cases, and we're not telling them about it.
And then I think that's really interesting, that process of sitting down and asking the questions and then delving deeper. You know, in that process of where you've encouraged people to sit down and have those kind of conversations, and you've talked about, you know, what is good customer service and trying to find that magic, is there any kind of good questions that, you know, sometimes can kind of skirt around the issue and really get to the heart of, you know, what it is that makes you special?
Well, I think that you can come at it from a couple of ways. Why did you hire us in the first place? You know, sometimes something you did in the process of attracting them, you know, it's unique. You know, why do you stick with us? I mean, I already said the what do we do that others don't. Sometimes probing for the negative. I mean, is there anything that you're not getting, you know, from us, or that is there anything that you hate about our industry, you know, in general? I also love that this is sort of a bonus question that I was asked. You know, what would you type into a search engine if you were looking for a business like ours? That can give you some great information as well.
And once you've kind of got down to that magic of what makes a company unique, as it were, you know, can social media be, like, does that really make it much easier for businesses to start getting across what makes them unique and what, you know, what the real, you know, the real crux of what they're about and why you would go with one company over another? Does social media make that easier or more difficult?
Well,
does the
I think it definitely makes it easier in some ways if you embrace it and integrate it. I mean, it's not the magic bullet that says, oh, okay, now all of a sudden, now that we've got our message, we can use social media to get it out. I mean, to me, it's a way to perhaps get exposure to audiences, to outposts, you know, that might not be readily visiting your website. But it really, it's really, you know, all things. I mean, it's how our customers expect to interact with us now. It's how, in many cases, we need to be providing customer service, or at least monitoring the brand. I mean, I think the biggest thing that social media has really done is it's just made it easier in some ways for us to communicate, and easier for us to listen, you know, to what's being said. But it doesn't necessarily change what's being said.
And I suppose also for some people, if you've got enough customers that are talking about on social media already, not that many small businesses might have this, you know, situation, but if there are people already talking about you, I suppose you might be able to monitor it and kind of, you know, understand what's going on there as a better means of kind of, you know, you said interviewing your customers is a great way of understanding what's unique and special about you, but the things that people are saying about you positively already, I suppose, is, you know, part of the, you know, you could get a similar result in a different way.
Yeah, and even the things that they might be saying negative, how do you respond to those reviews or to that, you know, angry tweet, says a lot publicly about your brand and how you respond. And I think there are a lot of companies that that do some great things for their brand just by how they respond. And in some cases, maybe you save a customer who then turns into a raving fan, or at least in some cases, you show that you're responsive and that you have a reasonable approach to trying to fix problems. And I think that in many cases can send a message that you should just stay inside the customer service department.
No, fantastic. And I mean, so, you know, I know you've released a couple of books that have done very well, and the first of those was Duct Tape Marketing. We talked a bit about that there, but I know that kind of, the referral, you know, machine and engine, there's the one that's kind of the second of your books there. Can you talk a bit about kind of the concept behind that and kind of some of the key takeaways that, you know, that come out of that book that you've written?
Sure. Well, I mean, I wrote the book really because just, if I were to ask 10,000 small business owners, the number one way they get leads, or in fact new business, I was, somewhere in the 80% range would say that it's some form of referral. So obviously we know that that's an important dynamic in growing any business. But what I was really sort of taking with is that so few companies do anything about it systematically. No universities that I'm aware of teach it as a part of marketing. And so, I really set out to write kind of a systematic approach to referrals. And I, as a marketing, maybe as a primary marketing approach, I interviewed probably in the neighborhood of 50 companies that people either told me about or that I was aware of doing quite well in that regard. And really, a couple interesting things came out. Not shocking. The number one thing that came out was the companies that receive the most referrals are simply more referrals. They do things that people talk about. They're easy to do business with. They have products and services that are simple that are valuable. So I spent a lot of time really talking about how to make your company more referable. And then I spent the second half of the book really breaking down the kind of step-by-step approach to, if you are a referral company, how to really amplify that and make sure that you're taking full advantage of it.
And I know you're kind of like, so you're a big fan of the practical advice there. In terms of, for someone who's listening to the show now and going, okay, yeah, I could see that referrals are a big part of where my business is, currently getting its getting, our new leads, our new customers, our new sales from. What's kind of some of the practical things they can do to kind of, bump up that likelihood of a referralness? Is there any advice you can give to people?
Yeah, the first one that I love to give people in the book, there are literally hundreds of kind of very simple, doable, actionable, steps. But one of my favorites is to actually, move the idea of referrals much farther up in, the selling mindset. So in other words, instead of waiting until after you make a customer happy to introduce the idea of referrals, why don't they introduce it in the actual selling or lead converting process? I have countless companies that have inserted into their sort of sales presentation something along the lines of, hey, we know you're going to be so thrilled with the results that we can get you, that in the 90 days, we're going to come back to you and ask you to introduce us to three other people that would like that result. And it is amazing, what that little simple step can do, because it's a great market. We know you're going to be thrilled. before you've ever bought anything from us, we know you're going to be so thrilled that you're going to want to tell other people about us. So it's a great marketing message. Obviously, you have to thrill them. You have to have a process where you go back and ask for those referrals. But 99% of the time, they're going to nod their head and say, sure, we'll do that for us. So if you follow through on your end of the deal, you then are going to really have the invitation to go back and start exploring this idea of referrals. And that simple change can make a huge difference.
Yeah, no, and I think that's, finding some way to bake referrals into your process or system, I think, can work really well. I mean, the one I like to think of a bit for kind of referrals sometimes is kind of around the Dropbox approach, where that's that kind of, you know, very early on, you're kind of nearing the edge of your, you know, limit of the capacity that you might be using on the service. And they're just mentioning, you know, in a little pop-up window, you know, if you, you know, recommend us to a couple of your friends and they sign up for a free account, you'll also get some extra space there. So it kind of incentivizes you. You're already a customer of theirs, and they make it nice and easy to provide the referral. Do you think that's something that people need to be doing, is making it easier to provide, you know, happy customers to provide referrals?
Yeah, we're all really busy, and I tell people that all the time. I mean, even your champions that just love what you do, you know, they've got to go out of their way in order to refer you. If you don't put materials in their hands, you don't give them gift certificates, you don't remind them, you know, then you know, you're limiting their capacity to do it. So no question, being easy to refer, making it easy for people to refer, is a huge key.
And one thing I really like about yourself, and you know, something that we try and do as much as possible, is, you know, kind of the idea of teaching and loaning. Do you think that, you know, most businesses ought to be trying to do a bit more of that type of thing? And how can you advise people? It's very easy, like, for people like ourselves who are working in the marketing industry, you know, it's quite easy to talk about what we do, and perhaps, you know, thought leadership's a great way of communicating your experience. But, you know, what advice have you got for people in, you know, industries that perhaps don't lend themselves quite so easily to that teaching and loaning approach?
Yeah, well, I think that if you just use your creativity a bit, you can find that they're, you know, no matter what business you're in, there are some things you can do creatively. You know, I tell people all the time, if you have a customer base that needs to know how to do something, even if it's maybe not completely related to what you do, you know, bringing in an expert who can teach them how to do something they need to do, and you host that, you know, for your customers. That can be a great way to sort of extend that teaching, particularly if you start developing your own strategic partners, so other businesses that sell to your market. So you start bringing those folks in, or you start, to teach your clients, or you start going out and teaching them how to do things, showing them how to do the things you've learned how to do. I mean, even if, you know, I always like to use the example of a plumber that has figured out how to rank well in local search engines. Well, go out and teach the electrician and the HVAC person and the, the chimney sweep, I'll throw that in for you guys in the UK. You're teaching them how to do well in local search, and all of a sudden you made yourself way more valuable as a strategic partner to them. I'm guessing they're going to want to refer business to you.
So no, some really great advice there, John. Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of your podcast, and, you know, big fan of your books as well. So yeah, thanks for your time and sharing some of your tips there. And I can thoroughly recommend to anyone, particularly if you're kind of interested in, you know, perhaps less of that, you know, sometimes, you know, some of us marketers could be a bit guilty of kind of talking about the big picture or getting obsessed over the newest, greatest thing, when actually a lot of the time, you know, it's action that makes the big difference. And I'm a big fan of the approach that you advocate there. So thanks very much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website, and if you'd like to use our voiceline number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.